I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
President
evil.
President Vladimir Putin announced that Russia successfully tested a nuclear-powered cruise missile.
A Russian attack on a village in northeastern Ukraine is now one of the deadliest in months. Today's strike killed dozens of people.
When they say they don't believe in walls, that's still their policy. Well, then call the Secret Service tomorrow and tell them to take down the fence and the walls around the White House.
This is their policy. Chaos is their policy.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
The border wall, the money was appropriated for the border wall. I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what it was appropriated. I can't stop that.
Former President Trump at one point said he would even be willing to take the speaker's job himself temporarily and visit the Hill next week. But now he is endorsing House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan.
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. At some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on board today's edition of Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. Today is October 6, 2023, Anno Domini. We are facing the first stages of the red winter. And no, I don't mean conservative red. I don't mean MAGA red. I mean that other kind of red. I mean the old red. I mean the red of 1917. I mean the red of 1949. That's the red that I'm talking about. Put together all the pieces. Put together all the pieces. Joe Biden goes out and gives a series of speeches targeting MAGA as the domestic extremists in this country. Then Newsweek, on the front cover, says that the FBI has started a secret task force specifically dedicated to MAGA. Then Hillary Clinton goes on air and tells us that she is calling for re-education camps. Do you understand? Are you paying attention yet? Why are they running this playbook again? Because it's the only playbook that they have. It's the same playbook that they've always used. Whether it's the French Revolution, whether it's 1917, whether it's 1949 or 1966 China, it's the same thing we've seen. All of this has happened before, and all of this is happening again. Are you ready for that knock on your door in the middle of the night saying, come with us? Have you had that conversation with your family? Have you had that conversation with your friends? Are you prepared for what's coming? Are you afraid? Because I'm prepared. I'm prepared for one day when I will be brought before my Creator. And I will kneel before the throne. And I will be asked, what did you do with the resources you were given? I know what my answer is going to be. I know what I'm going to say when I'm brought before the throne. And I am not worried. And I am not scared. and I'm not intimidated or threatened by any of these principalities and powers that we face here on Earth. None. Not even for a second. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I don't care what Merrick Garland says. I don't care what the disinformation experts say. I don't care if they try to censor me. I don't care if they try to come after me. I'm never stopping. I'm never quitting. But folks, don't take the bait. They want you to take the bait. And let me explain. They're lashing out like a drowning man trying to pull you down. That's what the Polish government just said about Zelensky. And that's why they're trying to take them out of power now. I'm telling you, you have the strength. You have the power. And we have the sword of Saint Michael before us. Call upon the sword of Saint Michael. And you will be defended. Human Events continues. Dinesh D'Souza joins us next. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I grew up in the hood. I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back here, Human Events Live. And I got to point this out, guys, that the question of the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the federal government and the FBI was not even brought up at the last Republican debate. What a disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. I had to add that on. It struck me during the break. Absolute disgrace and a disservice. Everyone involved with that debate needs to resign from their positions, stop having these debates immediately. Sick of it. Want to hear a word from today's episode sponsor? Are you tired of progressive corporations, exhausted with trying to keep up with all this virtue signaling when you're simply trying to go shopping? Look, progressive corporate America, they are continuing to push this woke messaging, alienating conservatives, alienating our American dream, and you see it everywhere. These companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views, and corporations like Disney promoting gender ideology when all you want to do is take your kids to a movie. Thankfully, we don't have to spend our hard-earned dollars to fund these companies anymore. With Public Square, we have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution. PublicSquare.com. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you are looking to buy groceries, new athletic clothing that, you know, knows what a woman is, shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that's not going to lecture you about your political views, PublicSquare.com is your resource. Public Square offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform, so you can actually receive incentives for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsquare.com. Download the app, Public Square, publicsq.com. Before we bring in our next guest, I'd like to play a trailer of his next movie. Let's show it, guys.
Chief Division Counsel and DOJ have approved a no-knock breach. We want the subject to be on display, doing the walk of shame, full visual impact. Any questions?
Are we becoming a police state?
Government told American citizens they couldn't go to church on Sunday.
For the first time in my life, I'm saying to myself, am I going to get a knock at the door?
FBI warrant, come to the door now!
The Patriot Act and FISA were used against Donald Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, the filmmaker behind that movie, The New Police State, Dinesh D'Souza, joins us now. Dinesh, you know, we actually had this interview planned before all of this news just hit us, and I have to say it's fortuitous to have you on today because I think your film lays it out for us. How do you see this view of Hillary Clinton's comment calling for these deprogramming centers, re-education camps under any other context? Now the speaker race coming up, you had Jim Jordan right there. How does it all fit together?
Well, let's start with Hillary Clinton. The the statement that the MAGA supporters are cult members who need to be programmed, deprogrammed. This is reminiscent of what happened in the 1990s with Waco. Because with Waco, in fact, a lot of Americans even cheered when they burned those facilities, killed all those women and children. But people were like, yeah, but those people were kooks. They were cult members. And so there's a reason that Hillary Clinton is using this kind of dehumanizing rhetoric because, and we've seen this abroad in many police states, dehumanization comes first and then incarceration and then finally extermination. So this is a very dangerous rhetoric. There are some people who say things like Hillary's gone off her rocker. No, she knows exactly what she's doing. She's poisoning the well to set up things that are very, very bad in this country.
Well, and Dinesh, this playbook, and that's exactly what you're talking about here. This isn't the first time we've seen this playbook outlined. This is what happens when a radical faction takes over the state apparatus of a country and then begins using those state internal organs against political dissent. We saw this in 1917 with Cheka, the People's Commissariat on Internal Affairs, what was known famously as the NKVD. This was done in China with the Red Guards. And again, we can talk about different examples of this throughout history. We know this is the playbook because it's the only playbook they have.
It is, and yet it's coming here with an American accent. And there are a lot of Americans who are looking for, you know, a Stalin trench coat or a Hitler mustache. And they go, well, we don't see this. We've seen other police states which have begun with a revolutionary overthrow of the government. What's interesting about our police state is it is marching behind the banner of law. And so when you listen to these people, Biden, Hillary, Obama, they can't stop talking about it. We're fighting to save democracy. And we don't really, it's not that we want to go after Trump, Dinesh, but, you know, no one's above the law. And it's not that we are trying to censor you, but, you know, we just can't afford to allow all this disinformation out there. So our police state is running a masquerade, and the masquerade is political neutrality, rule of law, saving democracy.
Well, that's right. And in this sense, so the ruling class, the regime, has given us this phrase, save democracy, and it's said over and over and over. Well, in Mao's China, and we did a whole series on human events last year called The China Files. We went in depth through this. Their phrase was the revolution. We must protect the revolution. We must save the revolution. And in fact, in those images that you can see, and they're endemic to the Chinese Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, a period of which no Hollywood movie will ever be made, those signs that they're wearing around their necks, those dunce caps, it actually says enemy of the revolution, and even extremist enemy of the revolution depicted on that sign under their necks. And the reason it's put there is because the people have been worked up into such a fervor to say that since these are enemies of the revolution, therefore they must be given their struggle sessions. In some cases, they were executed. This is part and parcel. And in fact, some of the Red Guards have come out publicly now or in years since, and they said, we were given wolf's milk to drink. We were given wolf's milk to drink in our early ages, and it turned us into young wolves. Dinesh, are you seeing those same patterns play out before us?
We are, and I must say it's come as a surprise because there were many people, and I was not making this argument, but sympathetic to it, going back to the 1990s, that we are hoping and we are expecting that through trade and through constructive engagement, China will become more like us. Well, what we've seen is the exact opposite. We have become more like them. And there's a phrase that one of our sources uses in the film. This is the new film, Police State. He says, we have become China plus drag queens. And what he means is that police states are often quite puritanical, and they are very much focused on law and order. Now, they're lawless in a different sense. They go after dissidents and so on. But on the other hand, you can't in Pyongyang or in China, you can't exactly go and start harassing someone in the subway. Policemen with truncheons will show up and beat you to a pulp and take you away. So the point I'm making is that we have a police state, but we have a police state that is oddly compatible with rampant criminality in our cities, with all kinds of open sexual deviance and perversion. So we are clearly manufacturing a police state that is in some respects different than other police states. And part of what I try to do in the movie is explain how these strange behaviors, an open border. I mean, think about it. Normally, police states have a closed border. Think of the Berlin Wall as a symbol of how police states wall themselves in and don't let people come in. They don't let people get out. But we're letting people come in freely. Why? How is that consistent with our police state? So this is a movie that is not only emotionally riveting and very interesting, takes you right, sort of, it shows you people who are feeling the hot breath of the police state on their face, but it's also intellectually interesting.
You know, Dinesh, when I look at these things, I can't help but think of, and I know that you're a great scholar of the Gulag Archipelago and Solzhenitsyn, and Solzhenitsyn in one of his final, really final statements, when they asked him how could all of this happen? He said, all of this happened because we forgot about God. We transformed our belief in God into an ideology of politics and of the state. And in fact, when he came to Harvard back in the 1970s, he didn't come and praise our system. He said, I can see you following our same steps.
Yeah, I'm going through the Gulag on my podcast. And when I started it out, I said to my audience, I said, you know, you got to be careful. This is a different time and a different place. And Solzhenitsyn is a very Russian guy, and he's going to sort of go into the bowels of Russian history. But then as we began to go through the text, I realized, no, the parallels to what's going on in America are quite startling. And one of the points Solzhenitsyn makes in the very beginning is that everybody is surprised when the police state comes for them. Even when there's a fully established police state, they don't really believe it. And the first thing that they say when their door is kicked in and a bunch of officers show up at their door is, why me? Or what did I do? And of course, there's no answer to that question. Very often your name is on a list. You could be on a list for 17 different reasons. So instead of doing the things you should do, which is fighting back, alerting your neighbor, shouting on the street as they're taking you to the car to be never seen again, instead of doing those things, you kind of have this naive belief in the system. Wait till I talk to them. It's just going to be sorted out. And I think that's where a lot of Americans are. We see these police state signals appearing in our country: censorship, mass surveillance, political indoctrination, the criminalization of political differences, political prisoners. And yet, like the wildebeest, you know, or the antelope, you've got so many people who think, well, you know, I'm not Trump, and I didn't go in the Capitol on January 6th, and I pay my taxes, so nothing's going to happen to me. And this is a film that says to you, you could not be more wrong.
We have a quick break coming up, but I want to key on that specific issue, this idea that people think, I didn't do anything wrong, they'll never come for me, and just how wrong that mentality is. This is our exclusive interview, Dinesh D'Souza, the filmmaker of the new movie, Police State. We're going to talk about how you can see that film yourself very soon.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec here, back live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. Folks, any day now, we know that Big Pharma and Biden, they're going to pull the trigger on yet another drug that doesn't deliver. Meanwhile, there's a lot of health supplements out there that underperform, so that's why I'm excited to tell you about Strong Cell. Strong Cell is a daily liquid supplement that combines the power of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen. Now, why is that important? If you know anything about NADH, studies show that it's one of the hottest supplements out there on the market. Studies show that it improves mental clarity, alertness, concentration, memory, and that is because of its role in energy production. NADH is also used for improving energy production and treating chronic fatigue. That's not all. NADH has been used to slow the overall aging process, reduce cravings, and boost your immunity. It works. Just ask Joe Rogan. I use Strong Cell, Tanya Tay uses Strong Cell, and I want you to benefit from it as well. Being that Strong Cell works in your body at the cellular level, We recommend you try the 1 month option so you really have time to feel the difference. Go to strongcell.com/poso, get 20% off today with the promo code POSO. That's strongcell.com/poso. Give your cells the energy to keep you strong, mentally sharp, and healthy. Visit strongcell.com/poso. That's strongcell.com/poso. Dinesh D'Souza, our guest. You know, you mentioned the Gulag Archipelago. There's another Russian tale of the beginnings of communism, and this is called Always with Honor, which is the memoir of the leader of the White Army, Pyotr Rangel. And so he was the one who fought the communists and the Bolsheviks during the initial Russian Civil War. He had the redoubt there in Crimea. He eventually, we all know the story, they eventually lost, were pushed out of Crimea, but he was running what was essentially called South Russia there at one point. His memoirs are a fascinating look into the early rise of Bolshevism in a way that I don't think is captured anywhere else that I've seen. And he talks about how these reformers start making their way into the ranks and calling for things like social justice and racially equitable units within the military and pushing quotas for various things. And one of the lines that he actually talks about, and he's writing about, I believe it's St. Petersburg, so one of the main cities of the Russian Empire at the time, he says that, and it's just such a throwaway line, but it's so perfect. He writes, "Social life continued its usual course, as if the people at the cafes had no idea that they would become victims of the horror to come." And that's one line in the entire book, possibly the most important line in the entire book, written not by a historian, but someone who actually tried to stop it. Dinesh, why is it that so many people think it can't happen to me?
I think here in America, there are two reasons for that. One is that we have in this country no experience of this kind of thing. We know about it, but there's a great difference between knowing about something and knowing it. So, you know about India, but I grew up in India. So we have a different sort of knowledge about the same thing. So Americans tend to believe that it can happen here. And that's a form of American innocence. It's a form of American naivete. In some ways, that is a good quality. You find it in literature going all the way back to Mark Twain. You see it even earlier. But it's also it can be a little dangerous when things go sour as they're happening now. The other thing is, and this is not an American trait, there's a universal desire to believe that things are not as grave as they are. And again, I'll turn to Solzhenitsyn. He's talking about a woman, a school teacher, who goes out into the marketplace and meets a friend who tells her, "Get out of town. You are on a list. They are coming to get you." And she goes, "Yes, but I have to pack my stuff. I'll go back to my apartment and I will leave on the first train tomorrow morning." She goes to her apartment. They're waiting for her there. They arrest her. That is the end of her life. And Solzhenitsyn says, had she only gone to the train station, she could have disappeared in the vast Soviet Union. And this also, by the way, shows you that technology is different now than then, right? Today, you couldn't pull that off. Even if you go straight to the train station, they will find you. So these are ways in which, for example, we're now dealing with sort of Gulag 2.0. Technology can be an instrument of liberation, but it can also be an instrument of captivity.
That's exactly right. You know, they and it's interesting that there's a line in Orwell that producer Foz here just sent to me where he wrote, "The horrible thing about the 2 minutes hate." And I should explain for anyone who hasn't read 1984, the 2 minutes hate is when you're told you're given the object, the scapegoat of the week, basically the person or the group. And then today it would be the MAGA extremists, where you're told that you're forced to participate, stop what you're doing and participate in the 2 minutes hate against the counter-revolutionary extremist and the counter-revolutionary extremist leader. So today, obviously, that's Donald Trump and his supporters. Here's what Orwell wrote. "The horrible thing about the 2 minutes hate was not that one was obliged to act a part, but that it was impossible to avoid joining in." What does he mean by that, Dinesh? What is he talking about in terms of human nature there?
I think he's talking about two things, and they work very powerfully together. The first is the desire for conformity. the desire to be part of a crowd. It's the same reason Vaclav Havel says that shopkeepers in the old Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, would put up signs that say, workers of the world unite. It's not that they believe in those signs, but they want to be conformists. They don't want to seem like they are troublemakers. But there's a second element that's very dangerous and in some ways even worse, and it taps into the worst part of human nature. People take a certain delight in being an informant. They take a certain delight in seeing somebody else dragged away. And this is the same people, for example, who would go up to people who weren't wearing a mask and sort of think of the glee and the venom that they unleashed in those scenes that we all saw on social media, in a store or on the street. It's almost as if there's a little tyrant inside of every one of us, and we need to be on guard against that as well.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And I think people even probably experienced it. Did you ever ride a plane during 2020 or 2021? And I don't want to say that every flight attendant was like this, but you could tell that every once in a while you'd get that person who suddenly took absolute glee in forcing you to put your mask on between bites. That the minute that they were given that and truly tyrannical control over someone to be able to control your actions, to control your behavior, to control regardless of and even, especially when once they knew that someone who was upset at this order, at this mandate, they would even dig in further because they're exerting their will over. It's actually quite Nietzschean, to be honest. It's actually extremely Nietzschean in this sense, because you're exerting will over another. And that's essentially what totalitarian systems are based upon. There is this, element in human nature where we want to give in to temptation because we want to be able to impose our will on others.
Another way we see this exact same element is one of the puzzles I wrestled over in this movie is, why would an ordinary FBI agent, who's basically a good guy, has a mom and has a wife and has a couple kids and lives in a 3-bedroom house, how can that person justify to themselves kicking in an apartment, grabbing a 70-year-old grandmother, pulling her by the hair to the ground, twisting her arms behind her back and putting handcuffs on her, dragging her down the stairs, pulling her into the street where her neighbors come out to gawk at her, humiliate her in this way? How, in other words, can a police state or an emerging police state get good people to do such horrific things? And answering that question itself gives us an insight into the police state. It's not just evil people. It's evil people who can make good people do evil things.
Tell us about, so the movie's coming out soon. We're going to walk through human nature. We're also going to walk through everything that's been going on in our country. Tell us how people can access this. What is the release schedule?
Well, the plan is, not the plan, but we've bought out hundreds of theaters all around the country. And if you go to the website, policestatefilm.net, put in your zip code, boom, all the theaters will come up near you. And it's a really fun movie to see with friends or with your church or with members of a conservative or Republican group. If you don't want to go to the theater, and in some cases the theater may be 30 minutes or 45 minutes away, no problem. On Friday, October 27th, we have a virtual premiere, which is a screening of the movie and then a live Q&A with Dan Bongino and me to follow. And all of this is for the price of a movie ticket. So again, policestatefilm.net is the kind of the one-stop shop where you buy tickets for everything.
Policestatefilm.net. Dinesh, this might be one of the most important films that you've done. And I'm someone who talks about 2,000 Mules on a very regular basis, but when we look at the very real threat of this, and let me just ask you, because there's a newsy element to this as well, is you've got Jim Jordan in the film. Jim Jordan just received last night the endorsement of Donald Trump for the speakership. Do you feel like Jim Jordan is fully aware of the situation? Does he get it?
I think he does get it. And I also think that when I think about the kind of leader that we need, and Reagan is in some ways my model. I cut my teeth in politics in the Reagan era. The key to Reagan's success is he was philosophically conservative, sound, but temperamentally genial. And he was always able to bring the so-called moderates and establishment types in with him because of his geniality. I might not agree with you, but I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to give you time. And I think Jim Jordan has that mix. He has the combination of philosophical grounding and temperamental geniality. Maybe that may be exactly the recipe that the House GOP needs.
Dinesh, where can people go to follow you and to get your podcast as well? We also said policestatefilm.net. That's where everyone can get access to this movie. I know that I definitely want to make sure that I'm marking that off on my calendar.
The my website is just DineshDeSouza.com. My podcast is on Apple, Google, and Spotify. It's also in video on Rumble and on YouTube. But I urge people to make plans early to see the film. You know, with 2,000 meals at the last minute, people were like, oh, I want to go to the theater and see it. It's so great to see these movies in the theater, but the tickets are gone. So get them now, get them early, and plan to go in a group, because it's really cool to see it with like-minded people. This is a movie that's going to fire you up like nothing else and really get you talking and thinking.
You know, I got to throw it out there again. I still remember the very first movie we took our little boy to, our oldest, was Death of a Nation with you at the DC premiere. He was just 3 months old. We had him there.
I remember that very well. It's awesome.
Starting him off right. What can I say? Dinesh D'Souza, go follow him. We need to see Police State, the American Police State. That's what we're living in.
Buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office, I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack.
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. At some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members.
Throwing us in camps, like the Uyghurs currently are in Xinjiang in China. You know, I'm increasingly convinced that the transition from George W. Bush to Barack Obama, and then from Barack Obama to Donald Trump, it actually broke the brains of liberals. And I specify that it's both of them for a reason. So under George W. Bush, liberals, especially of our age, millennials, elder millennials, they got used to the idea that Republicans, conservatives, were just a bunch of stupid Christian hillbillies, and John Stewart played a huge role in that. But then under Trump, in their minds, they just added racist to that description. And in other words, W made them think that we are subhuman. Obama made them think that they were not just our intellectual superiors, but our moral superiors. Trump made them think that we were subhuman and irredeemably evil, right? This cult. And this is the real danger, okay? This is the real danger. Because when it started to become clear that they weren't actually intellectually superior to Trump supporters, they just decided that intelligence didn't matter anymore, you know, because it's racist. This is the level. Right. These are the steps that this went through on the left, the steps that it went through in our media, the steps that it went through in much of the corporate world that brought us to the situation that we are in now. And it'd be easy for me to sit here and say that, oh, Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party are behind this, or that it's all Klaus Schwab and it's all the World Economic Forum. But you know what the dirty little secret is? The real Red Dawn isn't coming from externally. It's coming internally. It's coming from people within our own country. People who are true believers. People who actually believe in far-left progressivism. People who would be willing, for example, to walk up to a crazed knife-wielding maniac in the middle of the night on a street in Brooklyn and actually believe they could talk him out of killing them through the power of their words, through the power of their intent. Because this is how strict of a level upon which they will deny reality, reality itself. Human nature, it doesn't matter to them. And the left views individuals like this or the Baltimore Tech CEO who let a rapist into her building, rode an elevator with him before he dragged her up to the top of the roof of her luxury apartment building in Baltimore and beat her and strangled her to death. Or this leftist, Ryan Carson, in Philadelphia. It turns out my brother, Josh Krueger is the left-wing activist in Philadelphia. Ryan Carson, Brooklyn, Josh Krueger, Philadelphia. And the leftist in Philadelphia, it turns out, my brother had actually crossed paths with a few times, and he said that publicly. He was trying to help somebody out. I've just put out a warrant for the arrest of this 19-year-old black kid who lived down the street. And the question is then, why do they deny reality so much? It's because their ideology has become a parcel of faith for them. They believe so fervently and radically in their own ideology, the same way that Solzhenitsyn tells us, the same way that Yuri Bezmenov warned us. And Yuri Bezmenov was exactly right about this. He said, a fully demoralized people cannot accept or assess true information. A fully demoralized people, or fully indoctrinated people, if you prefer that phrasing. He said you could take them to Russia. You could show them the gulags. You could show them what's happening. And they would refuse to believe it. The same way, when I put out on Twitter on a regular basis, when I say that there are people that are currently sitting in a Washington, D.C. gulag that have been held for years without trial, over January 6th, they don't believe it. They say I'm lying. They say I'm making it up. It's true. You can go look it up. There are still people sitting in that gulag under lock and key who refused bail over January 6th that have never even been given charges. And those are worse conditions than Guantanamo Bay. And I know because I was at Guantanamo Bay, served there for a year. They refuse to believe what's happening. And then when you get to the point where you show them what's happening, they'll find some way around it. They'll say Ashley Babbitt deserved it. They'll say Rush Limbaugh, he deserved what happened to him. Deserved what he got. They'll say those people deserve to be there. Why? Because they're bad. Because they're evil. Because they're, and you have Hillary Clinton right there, it's a cult. The 2 minutes hate has arrived. The 2 minutes hate is here. And many of them are having trouble not participating. Here's another line. Thought crime was not a thing that could be concealed forever. You might dodge successfully for a while, for even years. But sooner or later, they were bound to get you. Mao empowered the children. Stalin and Lenin empowered the most insane, degenerate freaks of their nation. Let the criminals out of jails in order to destabilize the entire country. So you look at it. Me Too, BLM, Antifa, all of the outcasts, quote unquote, of the society all of a sudden are empowered by the state. For everyone who gets to join in, then guess what? Everyone wants to be holding the stick. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end. You remember the flight attendants? Put your mask up between bites. Put your mask up between bites. Put your mask, excuse me, is your mask not up between bites? I'll throw you off this plane. I'm empowered under federal law. Put your mask up between bites. They'll do it again and again and again. If you think I'm making this up, Remember, we all just lived through it for a period of about 2 years. Red winter is upon us. And now we've got this Speaker of the House race. Jim Jordan has received the endorsement of Donald Trump. Steve Scalise seems to be the establishment coalescing pick. What I've been told is that neither of them have the votes yet, even with Trump getting involved. Here's my question. You want to sell me on this, Jim Jordan? Who are you going to put in charge of the weaponization committee? I suggested put Matt Gaetz there because we need a guy who can present us with deliverables. We need someone who understands the situation and knows what time we're in. Dinesh D'Souza says that Jim Jordan knows what time we're in. That's a high endorsement. That's a very high endorsement. There's no higher endorsement than Donald Trump. Because show me anyone in this country who's facing more years in prison, who's facing more prosecutions, who's facing more trials than Trump. He's the one man who stands in the way of all their plans. And RFK, we're going to talk about RFK because I got some numbers on RFK. I'm going to read them to you in the next segment here. Numbers that nobody has yet. RFK is a game changer in this. He could swing the entire election to Biden. And that means that the red winter could be eternal. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your families? Have you had the conversation yet about what happens when you get the knock on the door? And the RNC didn't even ask the question. Didn't even ask the question at the last debate. A disgrace.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec here, live Human Events Daily. I spoke earlier about, and I teased this in the initial segment there, talking about how you can potentially look at the next election. Here's what we got. Here's the numbers I'm looking at. And I told you last week, I think a week ago today, I said we're in the churn. And you must understand the impact and the shakeup that RFK presents in this race. So let's go through the list now. RFK says that he wants to run independent. Cornel West. Now, this is news that people did not pick up on this week because we've had a lot of news this week. I get it. But you need to pay attention. Signal, not noise. Cornel West has said that he's also going to run independent, not as a member of the Green Party. So that means you've got Cornel West, you've got RFK, both running independent. Let's say for sake of purposes that they're both going to make it to the ballot. That is a high bar, and it is entirely possible that they don't make it, all right? Now you could potentially have a Libertarian candidate, because that usually happens, and then maybe even a completely separate Green Party candidate. So you've got four potential vote drivers outside of Donald Trump and, let's say, the Democrat candidate, either Biden or potentially Newsom. We'll see. The shadow primary is still going. By the way, Hillary Clinton coming out last night making a huge contribution to the shadow primary by calling for all Trump supporters to be put into camps. Do you understand? That's why Hillary Clinton said that last night, because she wants to win the shadow primary over Newsom. Newsom is currently seen as the front runner in the shadow primary to replace Biden. So Hillary Clinton's got to come out and throw, shall we say, blue meat out for the far left. That's why she's saying things like that. It's extremely calculated what Hillary's doing. And I told you before to keep an eye on Hillary Clinton and keep an eye on Gavin Newsom. And now look, here we have it. Hillary Clinton is out there making all sorts of statements about what she would do if she were in charge. Why is she saying things like that when we don't think she's going to be in charge? She's not running, is she? Yes, she is. She's running in the shadow primary against Gavin Newsom. But let's leave that aside. The Rust Belt is where this country will be decided. That is the final battleground for this country, because it will be the final battleground for 2024. All right. In those states, this is the area where RFK picks up the largest chunk of Trump or Trump potential Trump voters. And this is a place where, and I've spoken to Richard Barris about this, and he's going to be putting out numbers soon here. This is a place where I think a lot of people are reading the situation wrong. They say, they come to me, they say, Poso, there's no way nobody would ever change their vote from Trump to RFK. I don't see it. Let me explain. I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm talking about independents, and I'm talking about, shall we say, orphan Democrats, people who had been Democrats for their entire lives, maybe from Democrat families, but they now want to join a candidate that's neither with the Democrats or the Republicans. That's a type of voter that Trump needs to pick up in the Rust Belt, particularly when it comes to working class and middle class voters. Those are Trump's bread and butter in the Rust Belt and will be his margin of victory. But then along comes RFK. And RFK acts as a sponge, and you're seeing it in these numbers, where he's able to eke out 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%. Okay, the number goes up and up. And we're not talking about, and by the way, he doesn't perform this way in New England. He doesn't, because people, I saw people saying that, oh, well, he's a Kennedy and Democrats always vote for Kennedys. No, he's an excommunicado. He's been kicked out of the Democrat tent. They don't view him as one of theirs. Why? Because he committed heresy on their theological sacrament of the vaccine. So they view him as a heretic, and they will not be supporting him. Democrats are a hive mind. The far left is a hive mind. They will not go for RFK. We're talking about the critical thinkers, the moderates, the people who are in the middle. And in the Rust Belt, RFK is attracting enough. I'm not saying it's a lot. I'm not saying he's going to win any of these states, but I'm saying what he can do then is prevent Donald Trump from winning in places like Michigan, Wisconsin. Okay? These are states that he absolutely, Pennsylvania too. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. My own home state of Pennsylvania. If RFK is able to take up a sizable enough percentage, and we're seeing this inside these numbers that we're getting and these internals that we're hearing about, that RFK is getting not a lot, but just enough to either let Biden get in or even worse, what does it do? And I very, you know, this blew up when I said it not long ago. I said that Trump is beating the margin of fraud. Trump was pulling ahead of the margin of fraud. Well, you know what? With RFK in this race, it now puts Trump back into that margin of fraud. It gets you into that place where even the largest ballot turnout operation, we just had Dinesh D'Souza on, the 2,000 mules type operation, the largest one, it can only get you 3 to 5%. That's about it. So you take that chunk, then you add in the chunk that you're getting from RFK, you peel off some of Biden for West, then Libertarian, Green, maybe that cancels each other out. The question is, what about the margin of fraud? With RFK in the race, it puts Donald Trump back in the margin of fraud. I'm sorry, that's just the math. We're looking at it. We've got the numbers now. I told you last week, that's what I predicted would happen. Now we're seeing that play out before our very eyes. President Trump, I know you got a lot going on right now. I know you have a lot on your plate. It's very simple. Cut the deals. You wrote the art of the deal. You are famous for being one of America's great deal makers. You were brokering a deal between North and South Korea. You brokered deals between the Jews and the Muslims in the Middle East. You were brokering deals in the Balkans with Rick Grenell. So here's the two deals that need to be brokered right now if we want to save this country and pull us out of the red winter and into the American spring. The spring of freedom. Broker a deal in the House to get Jim Jordan in there, but also to make sure that we get the deliverables to stop the prosecution and persecution of Americans and Trump supporters, and then broker a deal with RFK, give him HHS, turn him loose on Fauci, whatever he wants. That's the play. That's the play right now, because folks, we've seen the gulags. We've seen the archipelago. We've seen the communists. We've seen the struggle sessions. We've seen the names of people lined up against the wall, and I'm not going to be one of them. And neither are you, because we are going to fight to take back this country, and we're going to win. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay shore.